Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. It's so good to be back with you guys. And we had an amazing time away. And for those who are already grandparents, the amount of things that many of you have said to us over the last few months about the difference between being a parent and a grandparent, and you'll only experience it once you actually hold your grandchild in your arms, and what happens, you're right. It's just amazing. It's weird, because you look at this child and it's not yours, but it is yours. You know it belongs, you know, once it belongs to the Lord, but, you know, it belongs to your children or your daughter-in-law or whatever. But at the same time, you know, there's a connection there, and it's just amazing. So we had an amazing time. She's gorgeous, isn't she? Just lovely. I don't know how many of you have seen pictures on Facebook. You've probably seen more pictures than we have, because we're not on Facebook. But I think I've filled all the memory on my phone, you know, just with taking pictures and videos and stuff. So we had an amazing time. So thanks to all of you that have been praying for us. And Joe and Jess and Nolan, they'll be over next month in August for about 10 days. So you'll all get to meet her and see them and catch up with them. We also spent the last two Sundays spoken in the church they go to, Coastline Church, which is Pastor Aaron's church. They have five services, which is quite a few to get through. So spoke at 10 services over the last two Sundays, and but they're seeing, you know, God do something really great in the church. They've grown to about 1,100 in the last 5 years from about 60 people, a lot of new believers, and so it's just great to see what God's doing there and that relationship with them. And Aaron's going to be over in, when is it? End of October, beginning of November, something like that, for a weekend with us as a church. So that would be great to have them with us. So we're looking forward to that. But it's great to be home. It's great to be away, but it's great to be home. And, you know, it's been interesting being away, especially we were away when the referendum was actually taking place. Very interesting seeing, you know, listening and watching the news and hearing things from a bit of a distance. And you know, so we're gonna kind of, I'm gonna share for a few minutes, and Jane's gonna share for a few minutes. And we believe it's kind of something God's been speaking to us about, partly to remind us of some things, but also to speak to us as a church about some things. And then we're gonna pray for Pastor Jonathan and Helena, who we prayed for them a few months ago because they were taking on the church in London, but we're going to pray for them today and release them and send them. And initially they were going to be moving this Friday, but that's going to be knocked back a few weeks. But from after Faith Camp, they're going to be sort of totally released to be up there all the time, and kind of relieved from all their responsibilities here that they've had as well. And so we want to pray for them today, but it's going to be in the context of what we believe God is saying, not just to them, but to us, which includes them, because they're part of who we are. They might be moving to London, but they're still part of who we are. And it's not them going to London, it's us together being in London. They might be right at the tip or right at the coal face of what's going on up there. But I believe God's going to speak to us, and we together, we're not just going to pray for them, we're going to pray for us as well as them in regards to what God is saying. It will make sense in a few minutes. So you're all sitting there saying, we'll get on with it, and then we'll understand what you're talking about. So Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Just want to have a look at that for a few moments. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. And then we're going to look at something that I kind of spoke about a few weeks ago. We're going to touch on a few things in there in Isaiah 21. But Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. How many of you want to be blessed? There's a little key in there. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence, the word confidence there means security or certainty or hope, whose security or certainty is in the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by water that sends its roots out by the stream. How many of you want to live a life like that? Okay, well, it starts with trusting in the Lord. That flows from relationship with Him. Any trust is built through relationship. So then it says, it does not, or let's translate, instead of talking about it, the tree, let's talk about us, okay, and put us in this context. So the person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him, the Bible then says, he will be like a tree planted by water that sends its roots out by the stream. He, that person, does not fear when heat comes. His leaves or his life will be green, will produce fruit. This person will have no worries. How many of you would like to live a life with no worries? There's a few keys in here. He will live with no worries, or that person will live with no worries in a year of drought, and he will never fail to bear fruit. How many of you think those two verses sound a little bit too good to be true? How many of you know when God puts something in His Word, it's because it is true, and He'll only put things in His Word that are possible to actually live and see happen in our lives. So this is not beyond reach. This is not impossible. This is God speaking about you and I. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends its roots by the stream. Now remember, we brought a word a few weeks ago about living rooted, about being established in Him, and we used an analogy of an oak tree and its roots going deeper. And the deeper the roots, the more healthy, the more strength, and the more fruitfulness that tree then has. Same with our lives. As we're more rooted in God, as we're anchored in who He is, but if we're more rooted in our relationship with God, rooted in the Word, that His Word is the anchor for our lives. His Word is the backbone of who we are in our lives. That as we are rooted in Him, then we are spiritually healthy, and then we're going to become fruitful. Then it says, it does not fear, or he does not fear when the heat comes. Interesting being in the States. They're obviously politically going through some interesting things there with who will become the next president in that nation. And many people, when you speak to them, they don't really want either candidate that looks likely to, one of them looks like to become president. And there are a lot of them hope, wish there was a third one that might, they're asking the same kind of questions. Where's it going? Where's our nation going? What is happening? And there seems to be political turmoil going on over there as well. And obviously, with the referendum result and what's been happening the last couple of weeks, and, there have been so many things flying around, the news, social media, in lots of different ways. And a lot of strong feelings, a lot of emotions, a lot of people not happy, and a lot of questions going on. And God has not called us to be part of the negativity. He's not called us to be part of the opinionated approach to everything that is going on. The Bible says here that he does not fear when heat comes. We're living in a day of heat at this moment. There's heat going on politically, economically, in terms of outlook, all of that kind of stuff. Society is going in an opposite direction than God wants it to. As Christians, we're challenged to live our faith out and what we believe in a culture and a society that fundamentally doesn't believe in who God is and His ways and His purposes. Now, we're believing to see something different in our nation than we're currently seeing. God is not shaken by what is going on. God is not freaked out by what is going on in any way, shape, or form. And God will not join in the words and the language that many are speaking about our nation or the possible outcomes or what's going on here and there. God will only stick to His Word and His purposes. God is not in turmoil. God is not afraid. He's not freaking out in the heat of the day and what is going on. And therefore, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Those of us that trust in the Lord, our confidence is in Him. In the heat of the moment, we don't join in with the language of the day. We come with a different voice, a different sound. We come with one of hope, one of purpose. We have one that is not rooted in the economy or a political person or party. Our hope and our lives are rooted and anchored in who God is and what he says about our lives personally and about our life as a church and about our nation. No matter what is going on around us, the decisions of your life and at my life must not be dictated to by the heat of the day. I hope you've not made any different decisions about your life over the last few weeks, no matter whether we stayed in or came out of the EU. We need to be living our lives according to what the Word of God says, what the promises of God are into our own personal lives. So no matter what goes on out there, the decisions of our lives do not change in relation to the heat of the day. Our lives and the decisions we make are rooted in the Word of God, and they're rooted and anchored in who God is. Now, in all of that context, we need wisdom from God as to how we walk through the context that we are in as a nation. But the Bible says here, even when the heat of the day is here, it says, in a year of drought, there are no worries. So no matter what's going on, no matter, you know, who ends up becoming prime minister, who ends up leading the Labour Party, who ends up leading any other party, or what goes on, in a time of drought, which you could say we're in, all right? It's turmoil, it's drought, you know? The Bible says here that we have no worries. Now, what flows from our mouths or is typed by our fingers or appears on a social media site that we have the control over is determined by what is going on in our hearts. And it will be determined what we type and what we say and what we release from our lives will be determined by what we're anchored to, what we're rooted to, and what we're living by. Over the last few months, God has been speaking to us as a church. One of the things about being rooted in the things of God, that question that God spoke to us and said, what is it that we are living by today? What is the word that you and I are living with today? Why are we reading through the word daily? Why are we taking a chapter daily? Because God wants our lives to be rooted in him, anchored in him. He wants the revelation that's coming into our lives not to be from a politician or an economist or somebody who has an opinion on social media or somebody on the news or something you read. God does not want their revelation to be impacting your decisions and your life and my life and who we are as a people. It's the revelation that God brings from his word that determines how we think, the heart attitudes that we have, how we love and serve and treat one another and others, how we speak and how we live in our lives. Yeah, you know, we live in days of turmoil. They're not going to go away. They're not going to go away. You know, let's not stand here and I just hope if I stand here long enough that all this stuff will go away and everything will be all right in the end. You know, we're not living like in Ephesians 6 when Paul talks about to stand. The word stand there means to take your position. And in taking your position, it's taking your position in what's going on, not just to stand so hopefully I'll be okay, but actually the position is to stand and to go forward so that you come out the other side of whatever trouble is going on around you. Maybe the only place of peace and security and refuge in the coming months and years will be the church in different ways, or believers' lives and the context in which he wants us to live. He has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. No matter what is going on around us, God speaks to us and he says, you can still be fruitful right now in your life. Your life can still be fruitful right now. Your marriage can still be fruitful. Your family can still be fruitful. You can still be fruitful in the workplace. You don't have to fear for your job. There might be challenges out there that say in the company you work with, but yet if God orders our steps, even if the company or whoever you work with might fold, God will order your steps and step you into something else, something more, something better than you currently have. Because the question is, where are you anchored? What are you rooted in? What are we standing on? What are you living with on the inside? Are you living with something now, and now rhema from God? Because as we're going through the word and he's speaking into our lives, what is the revelation? What is the living word that's on the inside of you that's causing you to thank God, that's causing you to praise God, that's causing you to exalt his name and his word over the circumstances? What is going on the inside of you that causes you to speak well and good and positive, because something else is operating on the inside of you that is different than is operating out there in the world? We don't have the same spirit of the world. We've been brought out of that. When you come to know God, he brings you out of that and puts a new spirit on the inside of you. You become a new person in who God is on the inside of us. Therefore, we bring something different. We bring something of his life and his hope. In the Passion Translation, I don't know if any of you have read any of these, but the guy who's written some of this has written various things, but this is the Passion Translation of the Psalms, and they're really, really good. I'm going to read just a couple of Psalm 39, verse 1 in this translation. It says, "I will guard my ways for all my days. I will speak only what is right, guarding what I speak. Like a watchman guards against an attack of the enemy, I'll guard and muzzle my mouth when the wicked are around me. And I'll remain silent and will not grumble or speak out of any disappointment." Like a watchman who guards against the attack of the enemy. A watchman, sometimes we just translate that as to people who are intercessors or pray, people who pray. But as believers, we're watchmen. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. We're watchmen in the day and in the hour that we live at this time. And what we want to do is muzzle our mouths from joining in the tone of the world, the language of the world. And we're here to be watchmen to bring something else. We're here to bring the language of the kingdom. We're here to bring a different spirit into the lives of those that are around us in our lives. We're here to bring something different. So we want to muzzle the negativity, but we want to release the things of God. Because people need an anchor. They need somebody that is rooted and knows what's going on. A few weeks ago, I brought a word called oil the shield. Do you remember that one? How are you going with oil in your shield? Sorry, we've been away for a few weeks. So sort of, you know, when you go away for a few weeks and you pray a little bit and you write a few things down and you watch from afar what's going on in this nation, there's a few things that stir up on the inside of you, you know. And then we come back, a little bit of jet lag maybe. And but I want to ask you the question, how are you doing with oil in your shield? That might have been a message 6-7 weeks ago. And for some, maybe you think, oh yeah, that was back then. But I believe it's a prophetic word for us as a church in terms of how we live our lives, in terms of constantly oiling the shield. Because there's a battle going on out there, and there's a lot of turmoil going on out there. And in the context of Isaiah 21, Isaiah has this vision that he sees. And in the context of this vision, he sees something very negative, very troubling. In Isaiah 21, he says, "I was shown a dire vision." And he sees all kinds of negativity going on. And in the middle of that, he says that he's racked with pain and pain sees him, and like a woman in labor. And it's talking about in that context of what he sees, something else rises up on the inside to stand in the gap, to intercede, to pray. Because God wants a different outcome than the negativity that that God shows him is going on. But then something rises up in him saying to do with intercession and prayer. And in that context, he then says, "I'm staggered by what I see. I'm bewildered by what I hear." Now, we could all say that about various things going on. Maybe, I mean, in the States, in California, they've just made some laws, you know, to do with, you know, a few months back, earlier in the year, about the whole kind of same-sex bathrooms and all that kind of stuff, and that you can go, you know, into any changing room or any, you know, if you decide you want to be a bloke one day and you're a woman and you fancy, you know, or you're a guy and want to be a woman one day, you can go into this loo or that. It's law now over there, right? So, and some of this stuff, we would think, man, that's bewildering. Stuff like that's happening in our day. And it could be a bit staggering, as it's saying here, but there's things going on. What's going on in our nation at this moment? Where's it going? What's happening? And all of that kind of stuff. He says, I'm staggered by what I hear, bewildered by what I see. Then there's as well as a spiritual response to intercede, there's also a natural one that he responds when he sees it. And he says, my heart falters. Fear makes me tremble. The twilight I long for, or hoping for something good, has now become a horror to me. And there's a natural response when stuff goes on around us, right? Because we're not perfect, and we do look at stuff and we're like, wow, where is that going? What does that mean? There's a lot of political turmoil and unrest. There's a lot of stuff going on in our nation. Seems to be a bit divided at this moment. So what's going on? And if you're not careful, your heart can falter. Fear can rise up. And in that context, what he also sees, he says, they set the tables, they spread the rugs, they eat and they drink. You know, when an enemy has a victory, they gloat, don't they? You know, people, you know, or the enemy gloats in his victory. And what Isaiah's seeing here is the enemy, the devil, is kind of setting his table, setting his rugs out, having a bit of a feast, and he thinks he's winning. He looks at what's going on in our culture and our society, and he sees lives being ruined. He sees generations being impacted in a negative way, and the enemy's putting his stall out, putting his rug out, putting his feast out, and he's feasting and gloating, and he's saying, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning. I'm destroying a nation. I'm destroying another generation. I'm having my way. I'm causing turmoil and all of that kind of stuff. And in the middle of all of that, what Isaiah sees, he hears this, get up, you officers, and oil the shields. There's this prophetic word right into the heart of the church at this time, right in the middle of all the stuff going on. Come on, church, it's time to oil the shield. And we looked at some of that. What does it mean to oil the shield? It means to be rooted in the word. How do you oil the shield? By praising God. This morning, as we're worshiping, what are you doing? You're oiling the shield. When we pray, when we spend time with the Lord, when we get up in the morning and say, Father, I want to come and spend time with you, He's already waiting there for you and I. I know when I get up in the morning, I go down, it's like God's already there waiting. He said, I've been waiting for you to come and join me. I've been waiting for you. There's things I want to show you about who I am. Things I want to show you in my word. There's things I want to show you about who you are in me. There's things I want to tell you. There are things on my heart I want to show you. It's like God's waiting already. It's like the Father's waiting for me to arrive downstairs with my cup of tea and in my lounge and sit there and spend time with him. He's waiting. I'm not there waiting for him to come and spend time with me. He's already there waiting for me to get up, get out of bed and come down and join him. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. Same for you, each one of us. God's passionate about relationship with us. But when you spend time with him, listening, reading the word, what are you doing? Oiling the shield. We brought a message a few weeks ago as well about what's God's view of greatness. Do you remember that one? And only two of you, brilliant. It was worth it. How does God see greatness? And he sees greatness as being the servant of all. When we serve others, when we love others, when we're gracious, compassionate, what are we doing? We're oiling the shield. When we love and serve and build others up, what are we doing? We're oiling their shield. We're helping them. So in the middle of our context that we're in at this moment, whether you agree with in or out, it really doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not. Because we are where we are, and God's still the same. Whether you disagree with it, there's no point being negative about it, because it won't change anything. It'll just make it worse. It doesn't matter whether we like in or out. When it's not about sides. Was I right? Was I wrong? Well, I wanted to remain. Look at the state of the country. I was right. No, you weren't. No, we came out, and, you know, la, 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 la. I was right. No, you weren't. Because it's not about sides. It's about what's God doing. What's he saying? Where are we going? It's about being on God's side, if we can put it that way. There's no point falling out with somebody because of this, that, or the other. Man, let's pray for our nation. Let's be intercessors. Let's stand in the gap for our nation, for our community, our friends, our family, people that are freaked out, people that don't know what is going on. These guys are going up to London, like full-time. They're moving up there in a few weeks' time. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in London. It's like it's its own country, its own world, isn't it? within the nation, a significant capital city in the world, not just in Europe. And it's going to remain, still going to be a key place, in terms of what God is doing and what it means in the natural in different ways as well. And we're going to pray for these guys in a few minutes. But we need to understand that what's going on around us is much bigger than just our own lives at this moment. There's something much bigger going on at stake for our nation, for Europe. God's heart is still for Europe. Doesn't matter whether in the EU or not, we're still part of Europe. And God's heart is for every nation. God is not judging the nations at this time. If He was judging the nations, He'd have wrapped it all up by now. We'd have all had our day before Him. He's showing His mercy to the nations. He's not judging them. He's showing mercy. God is giving more time for the church to wake up, to oil its shield, and to be out there with the gospel of the kingdom and seeking to bring people to Christ and all of that. That's God's heart. That's God's, for Europe, for the nations of Europe, for the people in Europe. So James is just going to come and share for a few minutes and kind of just follow on. And then we're going to pray for these guys in the context of what God is speaking to us about this morning. So, Jane, let's welcome Jane back, shall we?
Oh, good morning. Wow, it is good to be back. It is. it's been a while. I just had an amazing time in God. With family that we now have in living in sunny California, very nice. And I'm just blown away, overwhelmed by God's heart and passion for those who are passionate for Him. And His faithfulness to us, His faithfulness to people that love Him and serve Him. And I've got hundreds of photos, as you would imagine, of my granddaughter. I'm Nana, by the way, in case you're wondering, or people come up and ask you, who are you, what are you? I'm Nana, okay? And so my mum is now great Nana. Hundreds of pictures of her, but also one of the other things that we did, apart from cuddling a little girl while we were away, was we went to visit an aircraft carrier, okay? In amongst all these pictures, I've got a bunch of photographs of an aircraft carrier. And I was like, God, why are we here? But Toby, Clive, myself, and Jesse's dad, John, we went to visit this aircraft carrier called Midway. And it was just vast. It's just huge. And I didn't really know what to expect, but it was just incredible walking around this whole ship. And we thought it might take a couple of hours, but it took about four. And we didn't really spend ages and ages at each thing. But God did speak to me about this aircraft carrier. And there are 4,000 people work on this aircraft carrier. It's out of service now. It's a museum. You go and look around. But the ones they build now are bigger than this. So 4,000 people, and so it's like a city, and each person that's involved, this 4,000, have a role, as you can imagine, that makes this thing successful. Okay, so you from the top, from the admiral, Lord Admiralty is like God. They have an admiral over the whole fleet, who watches what's going on, the battle, and then you have a captain who's over the ship. You have a wing commander who's over all the planes that are on deck, right down to the littlest person on board does probably the most difficult job, and that's climbing inside the boilers when they need sorting out to run the ship. Because if that doesn't happen, the thing doesn't go anywhere. Okay, so you've got 4,000 people. You've got dentists, you've got surgeons, you've got hairdressers, you've got a laundrette, you've got these top guys in their posh cabins doing this whole thing to make this battleship, this aircraft carrier, do what it's meant to do. And that's like us, isn't it? Each one of us has a role, each one of us has a purpose, each one has a value that makes this Kingdom Faith aircraft carrier out there operating and doing its job. And if you're in Kingdom Faith, I missed Kingdom Faith when I was away. I missed you. I missed the depth of spirituality that we have here. I miss the passion that we have here. And there's an anointing, there's a call on Kingdom Faith that is like an aircraft carrier. It's a battleship.
Amen.
If you're in this for a cruise, you're in the wrong church.
Yes.
It can seem like hard work. It can seem like this costs everything, and it does. And it will do, but because we are passionate about a God who is passionate about us.
Right.
These people, I take my hat off, RESPECT, I take my hat off to anybody that goes into the Navy that lives on one of these things when you see where they sleep in a bunk like that deep. it's just, what they go through is horrible. And I take my hat off, and I was just like, oh my goodness, these guys are amazing. They lay down their lives. And if you're in Kingdom Faith, you're going to lay down your life.
Yes.
We're a kingdom church.
Yeah.
We talk it, we live it, we breathe it, we are passionate. I know every single one of you that's in this church, that's what you're like. And this place buzzes with God. And I want to read these scriptures that God gave me a while ago to do with Kingdom Faith. But I ended up praying this recently over Paul and Kate up at Scarborough. And I was praying last night with Clive to do with today, Jonathan and Helena. And God gave it to me again. And I wanted to just share these verses for all of us, but for them as well, specifically going up to London. Okay, so this is Judges 5, a song of Deborah. Okay. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. Israel's leaders took charge, and the people gladly followed. Praise the Lord. Okay. As Jonathan and Helena, as Kingdom Faith, take charge, take hold of this ship, HMS Kingdom Faith in London, if you like, the people gladly follow. So I'm just speaking this out, what God is saying. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He says, listen, you kings, pay attention, you mighty rulers, for I will sing to the Lord. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. And I believe the Lord was saying as well that he wants to give you guys a song in your heart and a song in your spirit. And the worship leader, Mikey, is that your name? Here today. A song of victory and overcoming in your spirit to declare.
Yeah.
Over London. Lord, when you set out from Seir and marched across the fields of Edom, the earth trembled and the cloudy skies poured down rain. The mountains quaked in the presence of the Lord, the God of Mount Sinai, in the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, and in the days of Jael, people avoided the main roads. Travellers stayed on winding pathways. What's going on here? There's shaking going on. There's earthquakes, there's rumblings, there's this shaking going on in this verse, but also in our nation. We know it, don't we? There was an earthquake while I was in San Diego. I was asleep. And I just suddenly woke up with this jolt. And I thought that the dog, Joe and Jess have got this big dog, and I thought the dog had ran into my bed and shaken it, and it woke me up. So I put the light on looking for the dog, and I couldn't see him. I was like, couldn't see her. I was like, something just woke me up. Something just slammed into my bed, but I couldn't see the dog. So anyway, I turned the light off and went back to sleep. And then the next morning, Jesse's parents were messaging. We were chatting away. And they said, oh, did you feel the earthquake last night? I was like, wow, yes, I did, actually. I thought it was something else, but I felt this thing. It woke me up. And apparently, an earthquake, you can feel it in different ways. Sometimes it's a rolling and it makes you feel sick. And other times it's a bang and it woke me up. But anyway, we're in days of shakings. Okay, the nations are in shakings. Being shaken by the Lord. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, people avoided the main roads and travellers stayed on winding pathways. There were few people left in the villages of Israel. There's fear. There's fear. People stayed off the road, okay? Until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. When the church rises up, until the church rises up, okay, there's fear going on. When Israel chose new gods, war erupted at the city gates. Israel had chosen, they hadn't chosen the Lord, they'd chosen other gods, and war erupts at the city gates. And even with what's going on in London at this in this season, you know, with a Muslim mayor, with all the turmoil about the pound and the authority and the power in London, even whatever the decisions that are made, whatever goes on in that place, it has consequences, and war has erupted in our nation and in London. It says, yet not a shield or spear could be seen among 40,000 warriors. It's time for the church to rise up as warriors, isn't it? Yeah. It's time for us to oil our shields. It's time for the church to rise up and not be in fear ourselves, but be the answer. My heart is with the commanders of Israel, with those who volunteered for war. Praise the Lord. Isaiah's heart and God's heart is with the commanders who will stand up, who will volunteer. He's passionate for those who are passionate about him. They're blessed. And Jonathan and Helen are volunteering with the Lord's prompting to go into this city, to go into the heart of our nation and stand up for the Lord. Halfway through verse 11 says, so the people of the Lord marched down to the city gates. This is all of us, Kingdom Faith, marching to London. Jonathan and Helena are heading it up there. But we as a church, Kingdom Faith, are going into London with our shields ready. Amen? Wake up, Deborah, wake up, wake up, wake up, and sing a song. Arise, Barak. Lead your captives away, son of Abinoam, that you're called to set the captives free. I know you know that. That's where you're going. So many people in captivity at the moment. Yes. The captive to fear, the captive to sin. They need freeing. Amen? Down from Tabor, marched the few against the nobles. The people of the Lord marched down against mighty warriors. They came down from Ephraim, a land that once belonged to the Amalekites. They followed you, Benjamin, with your troops. From Machir, the commanders marched down. From Zebulun, that came those who carry a commander's staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah and Barak. They followed Barak rushing into the valley. And the princes of Issachar were those who knew the signs of the times and what to do. So we just declare over you guys that God's going to bring you those who, with understanding, with spiritual understanding, that understand the signs of the times and what to do. Amen?
Yeah.
And they followed, rushing into the valley. But in the tribe of Reuben, there was great indecision. You know, even in the church, this can be going on, can't it? There's great indecision. Why did you sit at home among the sheepfolds to hear the sheep shepherds whistle for their flocks? Yes, in the tribe of Reuben, there was great indecision. Gilead remained east of the Jordan. And why did Dan stay at home? Asher sat unmoved at the seashore, remaining in his harbours. God, don't let us be a people that are unmoved by what we see.
Yes.
Move us, Lord, by your Spirit. Move us to pray. Move us into action. But Zebulun risked his life, as did Naphtali, on the heights of the battlefield. Like I said, Kingdom Faith, we're an aircraft carrier. Every single one of you matters. Every single one of you, whatever your role, whatever your position in life or in this church, it's important.
Yeah.
It matters. It makes this thing tick. Whether you're at the highest point, listening and seeing what the battle is, what needs to happen, and delegating to the smallest person that you might feel you do the least thing. But every single role is important. Every single one of you matters for this to work, for us to win together. I just want to read this to you again in the Passion Translation, Psalm 24. And many of you will know this, but written like this was just amazing. So again, just want to speak this over all of us and over Kingdom Faith London. Psalm 24, verse 7. So wake up, you living gateways. Wake up, you living gateways. London is a gateway for this nation. Lift up your heads, you ageless doors of destiny.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
This nation is a nation of destiny in God.
Yes.
It's a nation of destiny in God.
Yes.
And we want to see it great again in God.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through you. You ask, who is this glory King? The Lord armed and ready for battle. That is why we are getting ready for battle, because the Lord is marching out and he's ready for battle. Amen. The mighty one, invincible in every way. So wake up, you living gateways. That's you and I. As the church in this nation and in London, wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice.
Yeah.
Like Clive said, we don't want to live with the negativity. We don't want to live with the doubts and fears. We want to live with God. You are on the throne. You are Lord. We have a destiny and inheritance in this nation that's been paid for by blood of Christians many years ago. That is our destiny and inheritance. Not where anybody else might speak. No fear mongering. God is our destiny. Fling wide, you ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes, the King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord of victory, armed and ready for battle. The mighty one, the invincible commander of heaven's hosts. Yes, he is the King of Glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.